was different than stuff we've done before in that you had two input variables, but also two output variables. You turned a U and a V into an X and a Y. Now, we have thought about that kind of in disguise before, in terms of, say, polar coordinates. You take an R and a theta, you turn them into an X and a Y. But here we're thinking about it more explicitly, more generally. Two inputs, two outputs. And that's exactly what a vector field is. It's where you have two inputs and two outputs. Now, the difference between that and last Thursday is how we think about it. Okay, here we draw some pictures of, you know, region here gets changed to a different shape region over there. The size of a little rectangle changes, and it also can get skewed into a parallelogram and all that. It's a totally different way of thinking about it now with vector fields. Now we're going to think of each input as a position, as before, but now each output is an arrow. So every point in two-dimensional space is an input. But you think of the output, which is also two-dimensional, as an arrow, as a vector. And if you wanted to somehow think of this as a traditional graph the function situation, you'd have a problem. Two inputs, two outputs, you're talking about four dimensions. So I can't graph these like we could graph, z equals f of x and y. This is really a four-dimensional object. So the way we try and get a handle on it is you just pick some sample points. Let me put the inputs as this, okay? You feed it a point, and it spits out an arrow. Stand back, I guess.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so sample point. There's, say, 15 sample points, and we could get an idea of what this vector field is like. Let's say that the scale is such that this is 1 and that's 1. Now, when you plot, your output scale may differ than your input scale. So if the output is an arrow of length 1, I'm probably not going to draw an arrow that's actually length 1 on the XY scale. Because it makes things too hard to see. I'm going to draw smaller arrows so they're not all on top of each other. Start making a list. You know, given an input, what's the output? That's what I want. Well, kind of.
Okay. Make a little table here, right? There. 3x5 table would cover the 15 sample points I've drawn, right? Okay. See my 15 dots? Alright, so. And then we're going to have some sample values of that function, where the horizontal component is negative y and the vertical component is x. So there's not a lot going on here. You just plug in the numbers and remember to take the vertical input part and turn it into a horizontal output with the sign flipped. Take the horizontal input, x, and make it the vertical output. So this isn't a complicated vector field. And once we sketch it, I think you'll see that it's not hard to understand it visually either. It'll look nice. Okay, so for example, positive 1, negative 2 for x means you get a negative 2 vertical part. Positive 1 for y means you'll get a negative 1 horizontal part. What if y is 0? Well, then it's just 0. Y is negative 1, then the horizontal part is now positive 1. And the vertical is still negative 2. And that pretty much gives you the pattern, as the vertical parts are just going to match the horizontal part, the x. It's easy to fill in the rest now. I suppose you could make a spreadsheet in Excel and you could automate this if you're good with those dollar sign incantations that you need to tell it to copy-paste correctly. My 15 dots. Y goes higher as you go higher vertically, and X gets higher as you go to the right. Okay, so now you can just plot the arrows one by one. You can also have a computer plot a vector field for you. So let's see about this. Negative 1, negative 2. So how would we draw that? Right? 1 to the left and 2 down. So I'm going to draw that like this. Let's go to the next one. Still in the top row, second column now. 1 to the left, 1 down. One to the left, not up or down. One to the left, one up. One to the left, two up. So I somewhat arbitrarily set the scale of how big one to the one in the horizontal and vertical outputs would be. Okay, that's the top row. Any questions? Okay, this may not look that interesting yet, but let's do two more rows and we'll see something. Okay, in this second row, the horizontal part is always zero. So in this row two here, the arrow we get is always either straight down or straight up. So down two, down one, nothing. So it's a dot. Up one, up two. So the absolute scale is not important for your arrows. What's important is the relative scale. I'm trying to draw this arrow twice as big as that arrow. Okay, last row down here. Now the horizontal part is always plus one. So our arrows will always go one to the right. And they'll go different numbers down or up. So start at the left here. One to the right, two down. So something like that. One to the right, one down. One to the right, not up or down. One to the right, one up. One to the right, two up. So that's roughly how it should look. Not perfect, but I tried to have arrows that are supposed to be about the same length, about the same length. Okay. Looks like they're kind of going around in a circle, right? So at least the arrows look tangent to circles centered about the origin, right? And that's not a coincidence. If you have x squared plus y squared equal to a constant, that would be a circle centered about the origin. What does that imply? About tangent lines. The tangent lines are going to be perpendicular to what kind of vector?
Gradient?
The gradient.
Thank you, Edward.
Yeah. The gradient of this function. So the gradient is the one vector field we've sort of seen in disguise. Right? We just haven't called it a vector field, but it is a vector field. And a very important kind of vector field. Alright, so let's see, what is this? So the horizontal part would be the x partial derivative of x squared plus y squared. And the vertical part is the y partial derivative of x squared plus y squared. Let's see. What is that? Let's see. 2x plus 0. Right? Because you hold the y constant and the x partial derivative, and then
0 plus 2y. Here you're holding the x constant when you take the y partial derivative. And let's see. Let's see about this then. Now, how do you check if two vectors are perpendicular?
Dot product.
The dot product needs to be what number when it's perpendicular? Yeah. We need a dot product of 0. Okay, let's see about that. Negative y comma x dot 2x comma 2y gradient. Negative y times 2x plus x times 2y. 0. Yeah, they're perpendicular. Mm-hmm. So those arrows really are tangent to circles centered about the origin. So you can actually prove it. Questions or comments about this?
This is a radial field, right?
A radial field points along radii. So this is a radial field. The gradient is radial. This is not radial.
It goes around the circle. Radial fields go along the radii, right? They come out like spokes of a bicycle wheel.
I thought that was radian.
And radian's an angle measure. Whatever you want to call it.
this vector field goes around in circles, so to speak. We could actually plot the xy vector field, or factor out the 2 on it.
2x, 2y, right?
This vector field would be perpendicular, right?
It's the gradient, it's the direction of steepest increase for the functions x squared plus y squared.
You could plot it. I won't make the table guide, but I'll just start plotting it, right? 2y. And it will be radial, right? So the output is the same as the input, just doubled. So at, say, this point here, this is input negative 2 comma negative 1. The output would be negative 4 comma negative 2. So 4 to the left and 2 down.
I meant to say rotational.
Rotational. Yeah, it's that's fine. Yeah, it definitely has some rotation. Yeah.
I probably won't get the scale exactly right, but this is what it would look like. This. It points away from the origin. And it would still be 0, 0 at the origin. Okay. Now I can back up.
Okay. Gives you an idea of what the vector fields are, and if you want to get an experience, an intuition of these things about, okay, if I see some simple formula, what does the field look like? You can do this, right? Make a table of values, draw a bunch of arrows, and I think you should do something like that at least once to understand what it actually means, right? What do the formulas mean? But if you just want to draw lots of graphs, this is going to get pretty tedious. Let's see. So I was thinking I'd just log into the computer here and have the computer speed it up for us, right? There's a lot of standard simple formulas where you probably want to know what does this vector field look like. You have a basic set of building blocks. Just like you know what certain simple functions look like. You know what x squared, x cubed look like when you graph them. You know what the square root, the 1 over x, the sine wave. You know some basic functions, what they look like when you graph them. You want to have the same kind of thing for vector fields. For some simple cases, here's what they look like when you graph them. And if you have a more complicated formula and you want to have a picture of it, again, you can have a computer plot it for you. And, okay. Taking its sweet time, but I'm finally logged in. And silly beeps. Okay, any questions about the board before I bring down the projector screen? Okay, so we'll go to Wolfram Alpha. That's the most convenient way to do this. It's not too picky about the syntax, so I can just say something like, vector field, whatever. How about the one we just did, right? Negative y, comma x. Let's see how it plots the same thing. I was going to say it's the most convenient, but it's going to be this slow. Huh. Maybe install some software on your laptop. You can get some free software that'll do this, like Sage, for example. Anyways, there it is. Okay. It does a lot more sample points than my 15, but look closely. It's the same thing. You'll notice it's going around in circles. It's rotational. It's counterclockwise. What if I wanted to have the circles, right? So tangent to the same circles, but I wanted the arrows to go in a clockwise loop. What?
Positive y,
comma.
Negative y.
Yeah, just multiply the vector by -1. Okay. Multiply it by -1. And it should do the same thing, just the other way. Yeah, now we have clockwise loops. Right. Okay. Here was that radial field. Right, the x, comma, y. Well, okay, I left out the factor of 2, but everything pointing away from the origin. If I put the 2s in there, it's not really going to change how the plot looks because Wolfram Alpha is just going to rescale it, see? They just changed the scale to make it look the same, because they want the longest arrow to be about that long, no matter what the actual size in terms of numbers is. Okay, well, we could do that same thing with reversing arrows, right? Negative x, negative y. Now they're going to all point the opposite way, so they'll all point towards the origin. All right. So these are some of the basic fields. Okay, but let's see. Something a little different. Maybe mix around. Switch y and x from x to yx, but no negative signs this time. What is this going to be like? Oh, a little more interesting, huh? So the curves here, that if you imagine tracing out curves tangent to these arrows, the fancy word for that might be streamlines, right? What kind of curves are these?
Parabolas,
sort of. No, they're not parabolas, because they tend towards diagonal lines in the limit as you go away from the origin, right? Hyperbolas, yes. They're hyperbolic curves. And if you use the function x squared minus y squared and take its gradient, okay, x squared minus y squared equals a constant, gives you a hyperbolic curve. And if you just, instead of x squared plus y squared, you make it x squared minus y squared, you get a bunch of hyperbolas centered about the origin, and you'll again get a gradient that's perpendicular, but now perpendicular to y comma x. So these really are going to have hyperbolic streamlines. You can prove that the curves tangent to these really are of the form x squared minus y squared equals a constant. So they are hyperbolas. All right. Well, what if we just put in a zero somewhere? How about we just had output x, and we just throw away the y coordinate. Right? So now we'll get a bunch of horizontal arrows. That's disappointing. Okay. Well, I'll have to do that one on the board, I guess. But let me try one more time with a different thing in there. Okay, did that. Why wouldn't it do x comma 0? This is one where the vertical part is always 1, but the horizontal part is x. So when x is negative, the arrows go to the left. When x is 0, they don't go to the left or the right. When x is positive, they go to the right. But the vertical part is always 1, so all the arrows point up. They have a positive vertical component. They may have a horizontal part too. Let me try this one more time with the zero there. It still doesn't like that. Okay. All right, let me try something else. What if I do 0 comma x? Maybe it'll like that. All right. I'm going to trick it. I want to do x comma 0. I'm going to do 0.001. That'll look basically the same. Okay? There. That's what x comma 0 looks like. See? All horizontal, no vertical. But when x is negative, you get bigger arrows pointing to the left, the bigger x is. When x is positive, the bigger x is, the bigger the arrow is, and it's always pointing to the right.
So essentially, those points are giving you a position, but also they're giving you a magnitude.
Sure, I mean, each point is an input, and then we draw an arrow at that point to represent the output. The magnitude would be the absolute value of x, right?
So the longer you get further away, the longer, the bigger the magnitude.
Yeah. Alright. Now let me switch that around. So 0.0001. So basically 0. Now let me put the x in the vertical. So basically 0 comma x. This looks a little different, okay? So now the horizontal is basically zero. And now when x is negative, the bigger x is, the bigger the arrow is, and the arrow points down. When x is positive, the bigger the arrow is, and the arrow points up. Okay? So that would be 0, comma x. Okay, so that should give you a flavor of what can happen. Okay, so now your turn. I need two functions now. Okay? It doesn't have to be from that list there. X for the first function?
The third, comma X to the second.
What are you doing to me? you want to see this? Okay. Let me think about this now. That x squared is never going to be negative, so the arrows will never point down at all, right?
Yeah.
Now, when x is positive, the x cubed will be positive. So on the whole right half, the arrows should point to the right. When x is negative, x cubed will be negative. So on the left half, the arrows will point to the left. Okay, so you'll have left arrows on the left half, right arrows on the right half, and they always point either a little bit up or a lot up, or not up or down, but they never will point down at all. And there's the picture. So that, so yeah, so you can see when x is 0, the arrows have magnitude 0. You get away from 0, the x squared becomes positive, so the arrows point up, and further, left half where x is negative, the arrows point to the left. Right half where x is positive, the arrows point to the right. Okay. Let's see. Okay, well, let's see. You could do other stuff. Let's change it up. How about y cubed and x squared? Okay, now on the top half, where y is positive, y cubed will be positive, so the arrows will point up on the arrows will point to the right on the top half. And when y is negative, y cubed will be negative, so the arrows will point to the left on the bottom half. But their vertical part will always be positive or zero. So here it is. Okay? You can see they always point at least a little bit up, right? It's at least a little bit up. They never point down. If you're right here when x is 0, then they don't point up or down. But everywhere else, they're pointing at least a little bit up because the vertical part, x squared, is never negative. And then, on the top half, they go to the right because that's what the horizontal component says. It's positive. On the bottom half, where y is negative, they go to the left. So you see they kind of go, you imagine a streamline for this, it's going to kind of go like this, right? It's going to be going up and to the right. It'll kind of level out right here around x equals 0, and then it'll start picking up steam again going up, right? Yes?
So what about sines?
What about what?
Sines.
Sine.
Sine
of x, like the trig function? Okay. We can do that. So then there'll be lots of regions where it's positive and lots of regions where it's negative. So it'll go back and forth. Okay. So for example, okay, what about the vertical part? We need two functions, right?
Y.
Okay. Let's see about this. Okay, there it is. So, yeah. So you see, on the top half it goes up because y is positive on the top half. On the bottom half it goes down, and then the horizontal part depends on the sine of sine. Sorry, right? So say from 0 to pi, the sine wave is positive, right? So from x equals 0 to x equals pi, this whole vertical strip, it's going to the right. Right? And then after pi, then the sine wave dips down to negative, so now everything is going to the left, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Okay. For the y component, can you do the negative cosine y?
Okay. So now we can have some more complicated stuff. So now instead of just those vertical strips, you're really going to have horizontal strips. So you'll get these squares, right? And within each square, you'll have different behavior, right? Here's a, like say this, let's see. Say this square here, I guess. See if I can get a good. So you think of an interval of x's, say from 0 to pi, the sine will be positive. So from about here to here, so they're going to the right. And then think of an interval of y's where, say, cosine will be positive. So how about negative pi over 2 to pi over 2? So the negative cosine will be negative. So say in this square here, that's why we're going to the right and down, because in this square, the sine of x is positive and the negative cosine of y is negative. And we get these... So the behavior, you know, looks kind of like these tiles now. Because the sine and cosine are both periodic. And, you know, you can do other stuff. You can get this something rather different looking if you switch this. So now y influences the horizontal, x influences the vertical. All right. Yeah. Okay. So it's still the same kind of situation. So, for example, from 0 to pi in the x, so from and say from negative pi over 2 to positive. Well, now I guess, hold on, from 0 to pi in the y, okay, so around here, I think, 0 to pi in the y, and then from negative pi over 2 to positive pi over 2, so about this square here, the boundary is not as clear anymore, but there is a square right here where you're always going right and down because here the sine of y is positive, and the cosine of x is negative. Right there with y between 0 and pi, and x between plus or minus pi over 2. So you still have the tiling, but now the arrows cross right through the boundaries of those tiles, so to speak. It's going to have this kind of loopy behavior, right? They're almost circles here, but then they become almost diamond-shaped loops in the end. Yeah. So you can get some interesting stuff, right? And you can go to Wolf for Mouthful yourself and try out lots more things. But this is what a vector field is. So, yeah. Oh, look at that! That's the integral curves is another name for the streamlines, right? You take, say, differential equations, and a lot of times, basically, you end up trying to find formulas for these so-called integral curves or streamlines. You might enjoy doing that in a future course. All right. So I already took pictures of these boards. Let's see. Okay. So the homework assignment will be a little unusual. There isn't going to be a right or wrong answer per se. I'm going to draw some arrows on the board, and we'll have a little contest. We will see who can come up with the formula that matches my arrows. All right, so your assignment will be to come up with a formula and make a plot of it, either by hand or print it out from a computer, and turn that in. And I will look at them all, and whoever's matches the best, you know, maybe we'll have like a top five list or something, I'll show those to the class, and we'll see, you know, which formulas look the closest to my my set of arrows here. So I will start drawing some arrows. Now, the book's letters that it likes to use for vector fields are P and Q. Do the plot, just print it out. So, let's see, draw some arrows. All right. Something like that. See if you can come up with something like that. And maybe this one. Okay. I think there's a formula that'll get you pretty close. That's not too complicated. I didn't make it anything super tricky this time. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, we still have 5 more minutes. There's one more thing I want to show you. Those were all 2D vector fields. We can go 3D. Okay? All right. So, for example, we had the radial field XY, X, Y, Z. Now, in 3D, all the arrows point away from the origin. And the further you are away from the origin, the longer the arrow. And now, how about we make something rotational? I'm just going to rotate the coordinates, so to speak. So now, ZYX. Let's see what that does. That's actually not rotational, is it? That's more like the hyperbolas. The tangent surfaces now, or I guess, no, the streamlines would go along hyperboloids. But, well, maybe if we put a minus sign in there or something, you make it look more more rotational, maybe? Kind of, it's hard to see. I put another minus sign. Okay. And yeah, you can do all sorts of strange stuff here. Right? Yeah. So if you make up some weird trig function, you know. Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's a few others. I mean, I don't like the I don't like how it's all blue. And let me see. I've done some stuff in past semesters where I did some 3D vector plots. Let me show you a nicer one. Okay? If I can find it. Where is it? Okay, I know it's in here somewhere. Yeah, I got a nice one. What'd I do? Oh, that's right. That's just a link, so I'll send you a link to that. There's another thing you can use called a Sage Math Cloud, which is it can make some nicer plots, in my opinion. Hey. Huh? You guys, we haven't left yet. Okay, I'll send an email, but Sage, and then Math, and then Cloud. I'll send a link, but you can get some nicer 3D plots than this, where it does colors to indicate the magnitude. So I'll send some links to that. You can get some nicer stuff than just this. I want to say. Anyways, okay, now it's 11:19, so now I will let you go. You are at least aware that 3D fields exist now. Okay. Anyway.